From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
We demonstrated today that we have both the capability and the resolve to act decisively, and we are prepared on offense and defense to defend the state of Israel and the people of Israel.
That was Israeli spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari after Israel responded overnight on Friday to Iran's October 1st ballistic missile attack on the Jewish state. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said that Israel's response was measured, and that was what the U.S. insisted upon. And that should be the end of this direct confrontation.
We were communicating with them for nearly 4 weeks about the nature of their response and making sure that their response should be one that would be proportionate and would not in any way lead to further escalation. We believe that was the nature of the response and that Iran should not respond in any way.
We'll talk about it. Well, in other news, Vice President Kamala Harris said this yesterday morning at the Church of Christian Compassion.
My earliest memories of those teachings are about a loving God, a faithful God, a God who asks us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Well, she's not speaking for the unborn. In fact, there's no compassion in her policies when it comes to the unborn. In an interview with Nora O'Donnell of CBS News that aired last night, she said this.
We have seen extraordinary harm and pain and suffering happen because of what Donald Trump did in intending and effectuating an overturning of Roe v. Wade. Yes, my first priority is to put back in place those protections and to stop this pain and to stop this injustice that is happening around our country.
So then why not say what restrictions you would support as part of that?
I've told you. Let's put back in place Roe v. Wade.
No restrictions. Harris was also in Houston, Texas on Friday campaigning on, you guessed it, abortion.
With Colin Allred in the United States Senate, when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom, I will proudly sign it into law as President of the United States. Proudly.
Good is called evil and evil is called good. Taking the lives of children is a freedom? No. My friends, it will lead to the loss of our freedoms. Texas Congressman Dr. Brian Babin joins us in just a moment. And as we prepare for next week's election, I'll share some key highlights from the recent Pray Vote Stand Summit that was held here in Washington, D.C. It'll help you understand and navigate the confusing and often disappointing political landscape.
It's not true that history will always self-correct. It's not true that we can just wait around doing nothing and the craziness of the left will result in something that corrects the craziness of the left. We have no guarantee of that. The way things actually change is when people make decisions, when they make choices, when they act, when they make sacrifices, when they take risks, when they lead.
That was Princeton professor Dr. Robert George. Well, we have to act, and that acting begins with voting. Bottom line, you cannot sit this election out because you're disappointed, think your vote won't count, or whatever reason you might have. Pray, vote, stand. Pray for the country, vote for those who are closest aligned to biblical values, and then be determined to stand for the truth. We have a resource available for you. We have a voter toolkit. You can get that toolkit, and at your fingertips, you will have a comparison between the two-party platforms. You'll have a voter guide on the presidential candidates, as well as a personalized voter guide based upon your zip code. Just text the word toolkit to 67742. That's toolkit 67742, and you'll get a link. Follow the link over. A spokesperson for Iran's foreign ministry told the press today that Tehran will use all available tools in its counter-response to Israel's early Saturday morning airstrikes, which hit some 20 targets across the Islamic Republic of Iran, setting back their missile program quite significantly. Now, this comes after a number of remarks over the weekend by other Iranian officials, including the top commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, who reportedly warned that the bitter consequences will be unimaginable. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris said the Biden-Harris administration is very adamant that we must see de-escalation in the region going forward. That will be their focus. So will they be pressing Iran and their proxies like they've been pressing Israel? Join me now to discuss this, Congressman Brian Babin, a former airborne artilleryman in the Texas Army National Guard and captain in the United States Air Force. He serves in the 36th Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Babin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always good to be with you, Tony.
So the Prime Minister yesterday said, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the air attack was precise and powerful and achieved all of its goals. What details do we know at this point of Israel's response?
Well, there are over 140 sorties, I know, by Israeli aircraft, and devastation must have been pretty substantial. They certainly tried to attack non-civilian, targets. They went after military targets. But I'll tell you what, I think the very fact that the Israelis were able to have freedom of the air tells us that Israel can very well protect itself, and the Iranians have a long way to go.
I think in their first attack a few months back, they were able to take out some of the air defense systems. They took out more, apparently, in this attack, as well as about 20 of their missile and drone facilities. So it does look like they've degraded Tehran's ability to respond to Israel. And some are saying this could be setting up potentially another move by Israel if they deem it necessary.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I think this all goes back to weak leadership on the part of the Biden-Harris administration. This would not have happened. We would not have seen the October 7th attack by Hamas in Israel. We would not have seen the attack on Ukraine by Russia had we not shown the weakness, the absolute weakness of the Afghan withdrawal under President Biden. The weakness that has been demonstrated around the world, which tells our allies they can't really trust us, and our adversaries that they really don't need to fear us. All of this has to do with leadership. Leadership is everything. We've seen it throughout the Bible. Strong leadership has always been something that is to be sought, and wise leadership to go along with that, Tony.
Well, Congressman Babin, let's talk about that leadership, because what we're hearing is basically a containment approach. They want to stop the confrontation, which Israel's trying to eliminate the threat, but we have the Biden-Harris administration just wanting to, quote-unquote, de-escalate, which is essentially a containment policy, which is a failed approach. It's not peace through strength. But when you look at what is, in fact, it was just in Texas this past Friday, Kamala Harris was there in Houston campaigning. Her number one policy issue is abortion. I mean, with the world on fire, that's her top priority.
It is incredible to even think about that. And for since 1973, we've had abortion basically on demand as our law. And now this thing has been a good conservative Republican majority. Supreme Court has ruled and put this back in the states where it belongs. I am a 100% abortion guy, pro-life, against anti-abortion man. I would vote that abortion, I think, is wrong in just about every single circumstance. There could, I'm a healthcare provider myself, but there are issues, I think, which might justify it. But I am against abortion. The Democrat Party, as you just said, Tony, under Kamala Harris, abortion on demand up to the moment of birth, even after birth. We have seen how these people operate. They are even in favor of letting a newborn infant in a botched abortion just simply die. It's unconscionable that we would have a party that would have thousands and millions of people that would support them over this issue. It makes me so worried for my children and grandchildren's sake of the morality of our nation. Let's hope and pray that that is not true.
Dr. Babin, the legislature in Texas has spoken on this issue. Texas is a pro-life state. If this is an issue decided by the state of Texas and you know, half the other states have decided they want to be in the pro-life column. Kamala Harris came to Texas to campaign on this policy, and you heard the clip earlier where she said if president, she would sign into law a one-size-fits-all policy that would be abortion until birth. She refused to answer a question last night by Nora O'Donnell what limits she would place on abortion. She will place none. It's abortion, as you described, until birth, and in some cases after, if a child survives a botched abortion. Why is she coming to Texas to sell this?
She's down here trying to run interference and prop up her candidate for Senate, Colin Allred, the Democrat. And to try to unseat our good friend and pro-lifer and good conservative, Ted Cruz. Folks, don't be fooled by this. Ted Cruz has been one of the most pro-life senators we've ever had. It's incredible that I would have people call me and say, hey, should I vote for this Allred guy or do I need to vote for Ted Cruz? And they say, well, I said, vote for the Republican who has a party platform plank that is pro-life. He said, well, I don't know. Is Colin Allred not a Republican, or what is he? And I said, well, they don't say. So you better educate yourself, because this man will be absolutely pro-abortion. He will be open borders. This man is, even though he's an NFL former linebacker, he is in favor of men, transgender performing and competing against women in women's sports, going into their locker rooms, their showers. It's incredible what this guy is actually wanting to do. So I hope our people in Texas will educate themselves ahead of time and make sure they vote for the one that's going to keep us pro-life and all the conservative issues.
Congressman Babin, I would assume that the reason they have to talk about those issues, making that their top priorities, they can't talk about the economy because inflation is through the roof. They can't talk about national security because the border is wide open. And they certainly can't talk about peace internationally because the world is on fire as a result of their failed policies and weak leadership, as you pointed out. 30 seconds left. Congressman Babin, what should people be thinking as they go into the voting booth next Tuesday?
Number one, just exactly what President Trump said in New York and Madison Square Garden last night. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? I think 99% of the people out there are going to say, no, I'm not. The inflation is roaring, 20% plus. We've got open borders. We've got a likelihood of terrorist attacks, multiple attacks. We've got criminals. We've got, the possibility of a recession and all of the moral issues as well. Folks, we've got to get out and vote. That's the most important thing that we can possibly do. The border is still wide open. And what I heard last night is incredible. 325,000 missing and possibly dead children come across the border to supply slave labor, sex slavery going on in our great United States of America based on the Judeo-Christian Bible. Yeah. It is unbelievable to even contemplate that, isn't it?
All right, Congressman Babin, we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Folks, don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Not be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose the faith. Stand now strong, because the Lord has given us the great privilege of living in a time when our choices matter, when our lives matter, when our courage matters. So let's stand together and save this great country. God bless the United States of America.
The American Republic has a freedom like no other. It has roots in the scriptures far more than any other heritage. And if we, as followers of Jesus and conservatives, don't defend it, who will?
Neutrality is not an option. There are many Christians who believe that if we just keep our heads down, if we just don't say the wrong thing, that somehow we will come out of this unscathed. You're naive if you think that. Because what they want from us is not our silence. What they want from us is our submission.
Part of the dilemma of Christianity in our generation is that we've relied a little too much on human wisdom and human reasoning, human strength, human resource, and we've relied too little on the power of God and God's ability to open doors that we can't open and do things that we couldn't even hope to begin to do.
This may not be an easy task, but we are living in a moment of challenge, but also of great opportunity. And we know, always, that we are not alone, that His Spirit empowers us and protects us, and that He can do the unimaginable. Dobbs, after all, was never supposed to happen.
Father, we thank You. You have entrusted us with this moment in history, and I pray that we would be found faithful, and that as a result of our faithfulness to You, that thousands, millions would come into the kingdom as they would experience the forgiveness of sin and the new life that is found only in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. Being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, tonyperkins.com. The Voter Toolkit. Text the word toolkit to 67742. All right, for the rest of today's program, with the election coming up, I'd like to share with you some portions of two sessions that we had at the Pray Vote Stand Summit that FRC and FRC Action hosted earlier this month in Washington, D.C. Now, in this first session, I moderated a panel that included Dr. Robert George from Princeton University, Katie Faust from Them Before Us, and Brent Kylan from FRC Action. And we talked about the principles versus the practicals, why biblical values matter more than political expediency. And you'll recall there was a dust-up this past summer over the 2024 Republican Party platform, which unfortunately eliminated long-cherished language on protecting unborn life. And we've seen a number of Republicans either shy away from the life issue or claim that it's a state issue, not a federal issue. Well, during the discussion, I turned to Dr. George to counter that latter talking point. And we'll start from there.
I want you, Dr. George, to address this issue that has been is now being trumpeted by, well, I shouldn't have said that, being stated by many politicians that abortion is a state issue.
Only if we've read the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States out of the Constitution of the United States. The 14th Amendment says, among other things, that no person shall be denied by any state life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and no person shall be denied by any state within its jurisdiction, any person within its jurisdiction denied by any state the equal protection of the laws. You know that, Tony, and that means everybody. That means from the child in the womb to the frail elderly person at the point of death. But Tony, you know, even though you're not a lawyer, you're an old law enforcement guy, you know that the 14th Amendment doesn't end with that first section that has the Due Process Clause and the Privileges and Immunities Clause and the Equal Protection Clause. It has five sections. And in the fifth is something very important. It's very important to read to the end. What do you find in the fifth section of the 14th Amendment? Congress, the Congress of the United States, shall, by appropriate legislation, enforce the provisions of this article. It is Congress's responsibility and not just Congress's right to confer, to ensure that every state confers on every person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Mic drop. End of story. This is not controversial. This states' rights thing, this attempt to return us to the situation that Stephen Douglas argued for against Abraham Lincoln in 1958, This is, if there could be nothing more contrary to the heritage and history and legacy of the Republican Party.
How can an inalienable right be limited by the border of a state?
There is no way. There is no way. Now, the situation prior to the 14th Amendment was different.
Right.
And, of course, the traditional abortion legislation that was put into place was prior to or at about the same time then as the 14th Amendment. But deviations that would have triggered Congress's authority to act only came in the late 1960s and early 1970s.
You're going beyond the Constitution just to natural rights, to inalienable rights that the Declaration recognizes. Those aren't limited by borders. If you're going to be
As a matter of sound political philosophy, as a matter of justice, you're absolutely right. But, of course, the Constitution does allocate authority over certain domains of life as between the different levels of government. And state authority is not derivative of national authority. Under our Constitution, which was unique in the world when it was introduced, the states have independent authority as governments of general jurisdiction exercising what are called police powers. The national government is a government of delegated and enumerated powers. If it hasn't been delegated a power, it doesn't have it. But what the 14th Amendment did in that fifth section, Tony, is delegate a new power. 1868, delegate a new power to the government of the United States, and that power is to enforce the guarantees, including the equal protection guarantee of the first section of the amendment.
Yeah. Katie. So when we look at this as Christians, this pray, vote, stand summit. So we're praying. We've seen that here. We're preparing to vote. This is a difficult election. There's a lot at stake, as I've said before, and we'll continue to say this election won't save the country, but it could destroy it. How do we help Christians navigate this process of, this is not ideal. We don't have the best situation here. In fact, as we've been describing, we can be honest, okay? We can say that the Republican Party has deviated from its historical stand for life, okay? That is not heretical, it is fact. We can say that because we're never going to course correct the party if we don't talk about it. But that doesn't mean we don't vote. How do we navigate this?
Well, I just say put kids first, right? I find that that's kind of a hack for everything, in conversation with friends, when looking at political issues, or even what to do when you're approaching an election. Put kids first. And then that to me is a helpful lens, a helpful metric, a way to evaluate where to put your vote. And I actually think that children's life, family, mind, body, future, and security are all on the line when it comes to this next election. And I've got plenty of critiques of the GOP in relation to that. But I will tell you, when it comes to children's life, family, mind, body, security, and future, can't think of anything going on the other side of the aisle that is putting kids first.
Right. It's really good.
So I think that we need to be very clear-eyed, and our principles never bend to politicians.
Yes.
Our principles never bend to politicians. By God's grace, it will be the other way around. Politicians will bend to our biblically based child protective principles. But even if they don't, we won't. Even if the politicians are going to compromise or slide or justify a position that harms children, which always goes against scripture, we don't follow in their lead, right? We simply won't do it.
That was part of a panel discussion at the recent Pray Vote Stand Summit here in Washington, D.C. And you've tuned in to Washington Watch. Today, we're broadcasting some of the highlights from two sessions at the summit. And what you just watched or heard was a session on principles versus practicals, why biblical values matter more than political expediency. And you can find more of it on the FRC Stand Firm app. Go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. Also, be sure and get the toolkit, the voter toolkit, text toolkit to 67742. After the break, we're going to continue with this session and receive some encouragement from the panelists as we move forward in an increasingly hostile and, quite frankly, crazy culture. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, today we're broadcasting content from the recent Prevote Stand Summit. And during the summit, I moderated a panel on principles versus practicals, why biblical values matter more than political expediency. And for that discussion, I was joined by Dr. Robert George from Princeton University, Katie Faust from Them Before Us, and Brent Kylan from FRC Action. So in this next part, I asked our panelists to look ahead and offer some encouragement to those in our audience, and that would include you. I started with Katie Faust.
Katie, you touched on this, and I think this is the practical application of our few minutes left here in this panel is, all right, how do we be faithful witnesses in an increasingly hostile culture? Because it begins to build on itself, and you've got corporate America, and you've got laws and policies now that are speaking the opposite of what we're talking about here. So how do we go forward with a clarion call of truth, of righteousness, of biblical justice, and not be intimidated and not be angry?
Yeah.
Because I do not think we can operate out of anger.
I think some anger is okay. FYI. Angry at the right things is okay, but you're right. That's not the engine that can drive the machine at all. So how do you move forward? Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we've been doing it in Seattle. We've raised our four kids in Seattle, and we're a massive minority going on there. But I'll tell you something, people are waking up. Like where we are in, you know, here is not where we were 10 years ago, even though we've experienced an exodus, you know, not through the Red Sea, but to the red states. The people that are still in Seattle actually are ready to fight because they understand the cost of the lies that are being crammed down their throats in terms of the governance in Seattle, but also down their kids' throats. Now, we don't have a lot of voting power in Seattle, but I'll tell you what we've got. We know how to raise our kids now. We're very serious about discipling our children. So we know what we're going to do for the next generation. Number two, we have started to form these little underground pods where nobody can find us, right? We've got these little communication groups where we strengthen and reinforce one another. We bring more people into the fold, and then those people are strengthened as well. We coach each other on how to deal with difficult challenges, like how to stand up in your workplace, what to say to your kid when they come home with this impossible assignment or whatever it is. And I will tell you something, we are making converts. We're making converts because the other side has so overplayed their hand. They are so wildly out of touch. The connection between their bad ideas and the victimization of everybody, but especially the most vulnerable, is obvious. I mean, this is a target-rich environment. So what is my advice to you? Number one, don't bend. They will come back to us, right? There's going to be influence one way or the other. Either the world is going to influence us or we're going to influence them. And for a long time, they've been influencing us, and that needs to end, okay? So number two, you have to be an expert. Be an expert on what God says in his word, but then also be an expert on all these different subjects as it relates to voting. You should know more about this than everybody else.
Yeah.
And when you get into a conversation with one of your friends, you should be able to say, actually, immigration is not compassionate. Do you know that the immigration services have lost between 30,000 and 300,000 unaccompanied migrant children that are probably somewhere in the seedy underbellies of the trafficking world in this country? We need to shut the border for the sake of children. You need to know more about this than everyone else. And then finally, if all else fails, we need to breed them out. Have more babies and raise them up.
Well, we just lost our G rating for this panel. Okay. You know, we only have a minute left, Robbie, but I got to ask you this question because it just prompted me. I flew through Seattle last month.
It's very nice from 30,000 feet.
No, I was in the airport in Seattle, and I got off, and all of these huge lines back into the walkway of the airport, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. I thought maybe, and it was all outside of bathrooms. Then I realized they're all same-sex, they're all unisex bathrooms. Everybody uses the same one. And, of course, every line was long because they're just everybody's waiting in line. I said, this is crazy. And does history show us that the policies and the ideas of the left eventually implode on them and people come to their senses?
Well, here I think we need to be very careful not to indulge in wishful thinking. It's not true that history will always self-correct. It's not true that we can just wait around doing nothing and the craziness of the left will result in something that corrects the craziness of the left. We have no guarantee of that. The way things actually change is when people make decisions, when they make choices, when they act, when they make sacrifices, when they take risks, when they lead. We'd be a different world today if it weren't for Winston Churchill, a particular individual, making particular choices, which were very unpopular at the time, and standing up against the prospect of Nazi tyranny. Individual human beings, leaders, can make a difference. Individual human beings, ordinary citizens, can make a difference. And that difference won't necessarily be made if we just stand back and expect history to self-correct. The idea that history has a determined course, that's an idea on the left. They get it from Marx, who got it from Hegel, if you want to know the intellectual lineage of it. We don't have it because we don't believe in it. We don't believe that history has an inevitable direction or that it will self-correct or reach the right result in the end, except at the very end when Jesus returns in glory. So it is up to us, exercising those great virtues, those theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, to make a better world.
We have to make history.
Make history.
You've been listening to a part of a panel discussion at the recent Pray Vote Stand Summit, and this is Washington Watch. Today we're broadcasting some of the highlights in advance of the upcoming election to help you navigate the choices before you. We also have other tools available. Simply text Toolkit to 67742, and you'll have resources right at your fingertips. All right, more Washington Watch right after the break, so don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in Him through His Word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in Him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
The world is hurting. Streets are filled with crime. Families are broken. Sin is celebrated, and God is mocked. Everywhere we look, the wages of our sin are on full display. As Christians, we know that surrender to God's will is the solution to our biggest problems, but not everyone agrees. Even in church, we hear people say the most important thing is to be tolerant, that we shouldn't impose a morality on other people, and that loving our neighbor means celebrating what they do. But you can't do that. It's not that you don't love your neighbor, you do. But you care about God's opinion more than your neighbor's opinion, and this makes you different. In fact, sometimes it makes you feel alone, like you're the only one. But there is good news. You are not alone, not even close. Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, go to frc.org/sagecon and take the quiz to find out. The world is hurting, and we have the solution. We can't do it alone, but we can do it if we work together. That's what we're working toward every day. Join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and today we're broadcasting content from the recent PrayVote Stand Summit. To close out today's program, we're going to jump into a panel hosted by FRC Action President Jody Heiss on the 2024 election, what you should know and how to engage. Jody was joined by Mike Berry from American First Policy Institute, Bunny Pounds from Christians Engaged, and Matt Carpenter from FRC Action. We'll start with Matt's analysis on the House races.
If you look at the House races, there's, as you know, we had redistricting in 2020. You went from this Tea Party era where you had swings of 40 and 60 in either direction. Now we're looking at a map with maybe 24 toss-up competitive races at all. So the margins in the House are going to be very slim. I'll put it this way for you, Jody. A lot of people think, oh, the 2020 presidential election was decided in three states with 85,000 votes. That was close, right? Well, the House in 2022, when the Republicans won control, they won a four-seat majority with 4,500 vote margin, just to show you how close it is at the congressional level. So it's important we get out to vote. You got to be engaged, as Bunny was talking about. We've got to be educated. We've got to be making a plan to vote and talking to our neighbors. This is going to be a close election. The polling is showing it's going to come down to the wire. There's a lot riding on this election. So if you're in a state like New York and California, I want to add before I close out here, you're not going to be competitive at the statewide level. You're not getting attention at the presidential level, but there's 17 out of those 24 toss-up races I mentioned are in places like New York and California and New Jersey and Oregon and Washington. So look around your region, find a competitive race, and definitely help out if you can.
Absolutely. And I will just add to that, that FRC Action, we are heavily involved in these type races that Matt just mentioned. There's tons of effort taking place in the swing states, but we're looking at congressional races and Senate races all across the country that we need to win. I mean, can you imagine a Kamala Harris administration and a Democratic House and Senate? It's imperative that we do everything that we can to win the House and Senate, and that is a focus that we have with Action right now. Mike, let me come back to you. I mentioned earlier this whole issue of election integrity as a whole. People are concerned, and you brought it up, that people want to make sure their votes count. It's where are we on that spectrum? Say, from 1 to 10, coming into this election, are we more secure that we're going to have fair elections, or is this still a huge question mark across the country? And I know it varies from state to state, But just across the board, where do we stand from your perspective going into this?
Well, I think before we get to 24, it's important to look at a little bit back at 2020. I recall in 2020, I was doing religious liberty litigation, but obviously very concerned about what happens in our elections, because that affects a lot of other issues. I mean, if you're passionate about religious liberty, about life, about, you name it, right, then elections matter. And so I just remember in 2020 looking across the landscape and wondering, where are all the lawyers, right? Why aren't we doing anything to fight back? And so, and that's honestly what led me sort of into the role that I'm in now, in part. And then, so to get to your question, you look back at 2020 and there was a lot of, we don't need to do the autopsy of 2020, but I think most people would agree that we weren't where we needed to be. And I'll say that now, looking ahead at 2024, I don't think we are where we want to be in terms of what the, aspirational goal is. But I will tell you this. So Napoleon famously said, a leader is a purveyor of hope. So hopefully you will walk away with this with some hope and encouragement. We are light years ahead of where we were 4 years ago and 8 years ago. Light years. I'll use another example from military history, right? Marine, I've always got to have my military history stories. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, right? What did they say? I'm afraid all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant. I believe that 2020 may have been what awoke the sleeping giant on the right in terms of people like me, who before didn't really dabble in election litigation, woke up and realized, I've got to get into the fight. And so at last count, I would say if you look across the conservative or the right-leaning organizations who are in the election integrity litigation space, I believe there are approximately 150 lawsuits, right? 150 lawsuits. We were nowhere near that, right? Not even close to 150 last cycle. So again, we're not where we want to be, but we are catching up very quickly. But make no mistake, the opponents is a very organized, well-funded machine. And so we cannot afford to take we've got to be, as my kids say, all gas, no brake. And it can't stop in 2024. It's got to roll into, Bunny and I were talking about this before, right? It's conservatives, for liberals, and I'll wrap up quickly on this. I know we got to move, but for those who are progressive and liberals, the desire to hold power through elections, that is their religion, right? And so they treat it the way that conservatives treat actual religion, right? They do it every weekend. They pass the plate, proverbially speaking. They show up, whereas going to church is for them only on Christmas and Easter. And for us, our faith is something that we do on a regular basis, whereas elections is only something we do every so often. We've got to put on their mindset of realizing we're never out of cycle. And I know, from a former congressman, I'm sure that's probably music to your ears. Never out of cycle. We've got to, it's just you roll from one to the next. It's got to be rolling thunder, right? Roll right out of 2024. Let's gear up for 25. There are statewide ballot elections that happen in 25, midterms in 26. Oh, look, we're already gearing up for the next presidential cycle. That's how we keep pace with the left.
All right. Well, that's great news. That is fantastic news. And so that gives every one of us energy to talk to people who are wondering whether or not their vote is going to count. Get out there and do it. But within that context, Bunny, let me ask you this. I'm sure you've seen the polls that Barna and others have come out with that at this point, some 40 million evangelicals are pretty much apathetic for whatever reason going into this election cycle. So what do you say to those that have objections, that are fearful, who feel as though their votes may not count? Say someone mentions that to you right now. What's the message you have for them?
Well, I really don't believe that people are not voting because they don't think they should be voting. I think it's almost like the atheist that says he doesn't believe in God. I believe every believer, if they name the name of Christ, actually believes that they should be good stewards. But they're struggling with several things, Jody. They're struggling with, my little vote doesn't matter, you know, or I, you know, it's not going to, in the big picture of things, it's not going to be matter, or the deep state is too deep. I can't make a difference, right? So there's all these different lies that the enemy comes in and brings. You know, if we're in red counties, oh, well, there's all these other people in my community that are going to be voting. My vote doesn't need to be counted because it's going to be overwhelmingly in one direction. Or I'm in a blue county and, oh, well, my vote's not going to matter because I can't make a difference in that county. Forgetting about statewide races, forgetting about presidential races, forgetting about our county, our city elections, right? So we have to convince people your one vote matters. Remember the guy last year in Washington State that lost by one vote his city council race because he forgot to vote for himself. I mean, like these kind of crazy stories, right? Your colleague Claudia Tenney won by 246 votes in Congress just a few years ago. State rep races are won by 46 votes, 10 votes, 100 votes. Your vote matters. The second point is a lot of people don't think they have enough education. They don't have enough discernment. I don't know enough about these people, right? So with Christians Engaged, what we've done is we've built a get out the vote system for Christians in all 50 states. We track every election. We send a 5-step guide to print off their ballot, research their ballot when early voting begins, when early voting ends, 3 days before the election on election day. For every election, every runoff, every special election, et cetera, in the country. This is important because Christians can do 5 simple things. Pray over their ballot. Print it off, research their ballot with our friends at iVoter Guide, Transparency USA, our family policy councils around the country. But if we give them just a little bit of information and we empower them and say, this should be part of your discipleship, what we see is Christians start responding. 2 years ago in 2020 or 2022, we had 79,000 Christians in Texas that took our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. 91.7% of them voted in that midterm election. So if you get them to admit, I need to do something, and you give them the tools to do it, they will do it. And now we're up to over 500,000 Christians, Jody, and we're scaling to 1 million before the presidential election.
That's
building
awesome.
A standing army that will never go away.
That is awesome. And while you were talking, Benny, it reminded me, I had, in hosting Washington Watch a couple of weeks ago, I had Jeff Myers of Summit Ministries on with me, and I posed him a similar question because someone had just like that day had asked me, I don't know if I want to vote because it's a lesser of two evils. And so I posed this to Jeff. I said, Jeff, what do you say to the person who says we're having to deal with the lesser of two evils? I thought his answer was brilliant. He said, Jody, that's the wrong question. He said, there is always a choice between two evils because nobody's perfect. He said, but listen to this. He said, the question that ought to be asked is not who is the lesser of two evils, but which of these candidates will lessen evil. Mm. Oh, wow. That's a good thing. And so you can take that. What's their views on life? What's their views on crime? What's their views with the military, with the border? I mean, go across the board. Policies matter. And that lessens evil.
And I'll say Jesus is not on the ballot, Jody.
Not on the ballot.
So we have to pick between imperfect candidates. And I'll tell you, Gen Z guys wants to go on mission. Give them the simple tests. Give them the simple practical instruction. And they will rise up to the challenge. And we're seeing that with our 1630 project to see young people pray, vote, engage, and get going.
Fantastic. All right, Matt. Well, that's a perfect segue into this question I want to ask you. Because one of the issues that people have when they want to vote is more information. And we brought that up. Where do the candidates stand? Where do the parties stand? I know you have done enormous work on providing and making available a ton of resources, share with us a little bit about that and where people can get some of those resources.
Yeah, so we're delighted to share the news that our presidential voter guide, our 2024 presidential voter guide, is up on frcaction.org. If you go to voter resources, we've got a tile there. It says voter guides. You can click on that and access that there. Senate guides will be there soon. Our friends at iVoter Guide, you can get access to their materials there as well. If you're not familiar, it's a customized voter guide, so it'll show you what's on your ballot and where they stand on the issues. We actually just posted today, Jody, information about the 10 pro-abortion ballot measures that are going to be in places like Arizona and Florida and Missouri and South Dakota. So if you're in one of those states and that's going to be on your ballot, go to frcaction.org, go to our voter resources section, and get some of that information and figure out what's going to be on your ballot. And then share that with others in your small group, your neighbors. We're overcoming the fear of our votes being counted. We're overcoming the fear of what might what our government's going to do. But we cannot allow a lack of information to get in the way. You got to make a plan to vote, and then you got to distribute materials, talk about the elections, ask your friends and your neighbors who are of like mind, how are you voting? Get that juice flowing among those people there. They're more likely to show up that way. So we've also got information on our website about scorecard too. So if you've got if you don't know where your member of Congress is on the issues, you can go to our scorecard there and get an idea of how they've been voting, how they've been stewarding the responsibility that the Lord has given them in Congress. That's an important one as well. We've got materials on how to register voters too. I know a lot of folks have the heart to register voters. And so you can get access to those materials and make sure your neighbors and your coworkers and those in your small group, as we just mentioned, are registered to vote as well. You can text GUIDE to 67742 to get one sent to your phone, a voter guide there, and then you can forward that link on to others as well. So it's just about getting this information into the hands of as many people as possible at this stage.
And can that info go to churches as well?
Yes, absolutely. So our voter guides are 501c3 compliant. We've actually got a QR code in the exhibit hall there where you can scan it and fill out a form to get a quantity shipped to your church or to your ministry. So I would encourage you to go and ask an FRC staffer about that, and they'll point you in the right direction there.
Excellent. Mike.
Can I just follow up on something that Bunny said, the question that you asked, Bunny? And to those who say that my vote doesn't matter, it doesn't count, I live in Dallas, Texas. I live in a very, very red county there. If we agree that voting is a civic duty, then that means voting is actually, we have an obligation to vote, right? It's an act of obedience. And without getting too spiritual on everybody, I'll just remind you, in Hebrews 11, in the famous hall of faith, right, that's recounted, if you go to the portion of Hebrews 11 that's talking about the story of Jericho and the battle of Jericho, who is the only person named in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith related to the battle of the fall of Jericho? It's not Joshua. It's not the spies. It's one person.
Rahab.
Rahab. One simple, small act of obedience will have a generational impact. And that's what voting is. It's a small act of obedience because it's our civic duty to vote.
You have been listening to a special Washington Watch as we've been looking back at the recent Pray Vote Stand Summit and to get your toolkit. So you'll have the information at your fingertips when you vote. Text toolkit to 67742. That's all we have time for today, folks. So you know what to do. Pray, vote, stand.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.